Good morning, fellow homesteaders. Here we are at episode 12 of the Efficient Homestead Podcast. Thanks for joining me. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what we've done in the garden the last few days, and I'll give you an update on the apple tree and the state of our apples. We'll talk a little bit about future homestead plans and maybe things to look for in a new homestead, which may be on our horizons. It's a beautiful morning. I am driving to work right now, and instead of sitting on the porch, last few Fridays I've been able to take off, but today I am driving to work, so I apologize for the road noise and the absence of the chickens and the birds singing in the background, but this is the time I have to record, so this is the time I'm going to use. I'll give you those updates here in just a second. Well, first off, I want to start off with our apple tree update, since that's probably the biggest news that we have. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we went out and checked on the apple tree. We had 22 little green apples. Some of them were just starting to turn a little bit pink. These are Honeycrisp apples. We only have one tree that started to bear fruit this year, and it had 22 apples on it. It had a little more than that, but some of them were growing in pairs. Some of them weren't growing just right. They had little deformities or whatever. So I pulled all of those off. We ended up with 22 what I thought were going to be good apples. A week or so later, we went out to check on it, and we were down to 12. There were a couple that had fallen off on the ground. You could see them rotting there on the ground. But we were down to 12 apples, and at that time I made the comment that if we could just get to where we had 3 apples, so we'd have one apple apiece for everybody in the house, then we would be doing good. Well, I went out there last night and looked, and would you know it, there are no apples, and I believe the culprit is the deer. As I found, one of the apple tree limbs had been chewed on at the end just a little bit, where they'd eaten the green off of it, the green growth, and looked like the deer had their way with the apple trees. There was no apples on the ground, no trace that there'd ever even been any apples. They were all just gone. So hopefully I get some venison this fall that has a little apple flavoring on the inside, and we'll all be happy with that, but we'll see how that goes. The garden is still doing good. We'll start off with the cold crops. We did go ahead and pull the cauliflower and the broccoli plants out. They just they weren't doing good still or now. And I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm driving, so I'm a little bit distracted. Trying not to be distracted driving. Figure it's better to be more distracted on the podcast end than on the driving end. So that's trying to focus more on driving than I am podcasting. I do apologize. Anyway, the broccoli and the cauliflower had started to put on heads, but it got too hot and they started to just go all wonky. And so we pulled those and the broccoli. We'd got a couple of cuttings, 3 cuttings, I think, off the broccoli. Had a few meals off of it, and this last group of little heads that were coming on pretty much just shot up, almost like they were trying to bolt. I don't know if broccoli bolts or not, but that's what it looked like. They were pretty much trying to go to flower, so we just went ahead and pulled all that. We're going to try to get some pepper plants this weekend and try to salvage our pepper crop a little bit we can. Next to that, we have the beets, the carrots, and the onions. Those are all doing fantastic. All the root crops are doing fantastic. You know, now that the carrots have recovered a little bit, we're ending up with more carrots than I thought we were going to end up with. It could be, thinking on my planting strategy, it could be that I planted them too deep, and now that it's had a chance to dry out a little bit, they may have recovered way better than what I thought they were going to. So we're going to have a few carrots. The beets are looking fantastic. Dug down to feel one of them that's on the outer edge there where I can get to it pretty easy, and it feels like it's about the size of a golf ball. So probably going to have set some time aside here in the next couple of weekends and pull those beets and start pickling beets. I don't want to let them get too big. There's a restaurant here in town that has some small beets that are about that size, about golf ball size, that they pickle whole, and they are just fantastic. So I would love to be able to pickle some of those like that. Hopefully I do better on pickling beets than I did with the okra. My okra, pickled okra, just came out kind of soft and mushy. I'm not sure what I did wrong to get it to be crispy, but I probably need to pose that question out there on Facebook land, try to get an answer for that. The onions, we got red onions, and man, they're doing great. We ate one of those onions that we pulled accidentally a couple of weeks ago. We ate it last weekend, and it was phenomenal. Had to just slice it up and put it on burgers. Man, that was good. Good onion. So I'm really, really pleased with the onions. The tomato plants are in the next raised bed over, and they're doing great. The Super Sweet 100 plant, of course, is putting on the most little cherry tomatoes, but that plant is already probably about 3 foot tall, and if I was to stretch it all out, I've been trying to wind it around inside the tomato cage, but I bet it's 6 or 8 foot long if I was to stretch it all out. It just grows crazy. Next to that is the Husky Cherry Red. We experiment with that a little bit this year because the tag said that it was a more compact plant, and it is. It's staying well inside the tomato cage. These tomato cages I got are about 18 inches square, and it's holding its own, staying in there, and putting on some beautiful cherry tomatoes. They are quite a bit bigger. They're about the size of a, not quite golf ball size, but about the size of a big marble. Remember those big marbles you used to have as kids? About that size. A little bit bigger than what I actually prefer, but we'll use them. We'll slice them up. We'll cut them in half and throw them in a salad or something. They'll be great that way. The early girl tomato plant, she's got maybe half a dozen green tomatoes on her. They're looking really good. Romas, we picked a Roma tomato yesterday, day before yesterday. And we got 3 or 4 more that are getting close. And probably those 4 plants, there's probably 20, 25 more tomatoes that are green and getting big. They'll be ready to go any day. Into the main garden, we've still only got 2 pepper plants that look like they made it. One of them was the Ancho Poblano, and the other was the Tame Jalapeno. So like I said, we're going to try to get some more pepper plants and plant over in that other raised bed where we pulled out the broccoli and the cauliflower. The cucumbers are growing up the trellis. That is working out very well. It's my best trellis design yet, with the 4 T-posts and a little bit of fence wire. Looks like we've been having to train them just a little bit. They try to grow wherever they can, you know, but we've been pulling them up on that trellis and trying to train them to go up there, and the one side is just about taking over that, about halfway up that 6 foot T-post, and the other side is just starting to come up a little bit. The squash and the zucchini are doing good. We've been battling squash bugs a little bit. We tried spraying with neem oil, tried spraying with the BT spray that you get, and we tried diatomaceous earth. And we put that on there every couple of days for several days. We'd pick squash bugs off and smash them, scrape the eggs off and smash those, and just having a dandy of a time with squash bugs. It's been a battle royale. Same thing. We did the same thing last year, and finally we just ended up losing them. We went out one day and they were just covered. with squash bugs, and all the plants were dead and wilted, and it was a mess. So, I'm not going to lie, I went to the farm store here in town, Atwoods, and I bought some 7 spray, and I sprayed those plants with 7, and that was about a week ago now. And we haven't had just a squash bug here or there on there now, and I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 spots of eggs that we're able to pick off. So if I can get away with just spraying those plants one time with 7, I know everybody's going to say, oh, it's not organic. It's still better than anything you can buy in the store. I'd argue that it's even better than the organic produce that you buy in the store. But maybe that's just me. At least I know what's on it. And my grandparents used 7. My great-grandparents used 7. Everybody I know all my whole life has used 7. So I used it. And I'm not ashamed of it. It's better than losing the plants, the squash bugs. So there we are. Next to that is the cantaloupes. They're looking really good. We've got 3 now, I think, that are about softball size, a little bit bigger, starting to get longer, and big in the middle as a softball. So they're looking good. And I guess that's all we got in the garden right now. Still got that one section that I need to till up. I was going to do it last weekend, but it rained all day Sunday when I was the only time I had time to do it, and I just haven't got it done during the week. So I know I've been a little lazy on the weekday nights, been working late. By the time I get home, we cook dinner, it's 7:30, 8 o'clock, and honestly I just don't feel like getting out there and doing much. We get out there and putter around a little bit, pull a couple of weeds, check on things, pick what's ready, and that's just about all we do. If I was homesteading and the only thing that I could eat was what I was growing, then yeah, I'd probably be a little more energetic. Of course, then that would be my only job as well if I wasn't working 50 hours a week. Be a little easier to find the time to get out there and rototill the garden and take care of things like that. But I am working, so if I want to be a little bit lazy and just do it for fun, then that's what I'm going to do. So coming up here in just a second, I'll tell you about some things I've been thinking about with a new homestead. And some things that we're going to definitely try to look for. So I keep alluding to this new homestead. Looks like we're going to be moving out of state, try to get a little closer to the grandbabies. Coming up here sometime this year. So I've been trying to keep an eye open for what would I look for if I was looking for a new homestead. Well, one of the things, we were in Eureka Springs here a few weeks ago. I kind of talked a little bit about that on the podcast, I think. But while we were in Eureka Springs, we're walking down that one main street there. If you've never been to Eureka, it's a cute little town, lots of fun. We went and spent the night and messed around downtown that one evening, and then got up the next morning and stayed till, about 2 o'clock, I guess. Went to a wildlife park and all that. But anyway, we were walking around town. We passed by this coffee shop, and it was still kind of early, and I wanted another cup of coffee for the morning, so I stopped in there. It's just a walk up to the window, order your coffee thing. So I'm standing there talking to the guy while he's pouring my coffee and putting an ice cube in there for me because it was pretty hot. And we were talking about the weather and how it was going to get warm that day, and he said, if you get too hot, come back here and go around this sidewalk next to the coffee shop. So we've got a patio back here overlooking the creek. So I thought, wow, that's sounds kind of cool. So we walked back there and checked that out. And it was probably, the daytime temperature there was probably in the 80s, mid 80s. Sun was shining pretty good, so it was warm already. But we walked back there around that little deck area, kind of a couple of steps down, into this little, how do I describe this? There was a big bluff on one side, and the creek, Spring Fred Creek, running down the bottom. We were probably 15 feet above the creek. And of course, it's all trees and shaded, and you can hear the water running down there, and it's beautiful. But the temperature difference was what really got me. Is I bet temperature dropped 10 degrees when we stepped from out on the street into that shaded, secluded area overlooking that creek. So definitely one of the things that I'm going to be looking for in order to try to run the air conditioner as little as possible is to try to find a place that's got some kind of spring-fed creek on it that we can build close to. Hopefully we can get some water out of that. Of course, we'll test it. If it's drinkable, then we'll drink it. But at least be able to water the gardens and stuff and the livestock. But I think water is going to be probably the number one thing we're going to be looking for when we start looking for a new homestead. Right now, where we're at, we've got one little, well, in the front property, we got one little, I think it's a spring-fed creek. I really do. But it doesn't even run all year. When it starts getting hot in the summertime, it pretty much shuts down. We quit getting a bunch of rain. Right now, it's been running all the time. But the house is built up on the hill, so it's hard to get to. Probably if I didn't have rural water and I needed to use it, again, you know, it's a necessity is the mother of all invention. I'd figure out a way to use that creek. But right now, it's more just kind of meandering through the property more than anything else. So that's, I think I've probably rambled on long enough. I'm getting pretty close to work here, so I'm going to shut this down. I do appreciate you guys joining me. The support has been fantastic. I got a review on iTunes that I swear touched my heart. Whoever you were, I'm not going to say your name, but I truly appreciate that review. That was the best thing I'd read in a long time. Sure made me feel good to be doing this podcast, and I sure do enjoy chatting with you. So until next time, you guys look us up on the website, on our blog. I'm trying to post some more articles here coming up. It's theefficienthomestead.com. You can shoot me an email at theefficienthomestead@gmail.com. If you guys send me an email there, it's not going to sign you up for an email list. I promise not to spam you, not to sell your email address. Now, if you sign up for the email list on the website, that will get you on my distribution list. I try to send out a newsletter every now and then, but again, it's not going to be a lot. I'm not going to be selling things on there, at least, you know, not for a while. Maybe if I ever come up with something that I could sell, I may put it out there, but it's certainly not going to be all kinds of crap, I promise. You can look us up on the Facebook page we've got. That's The Efficient Homestead on Facebook as well. And it's just been a pleasure chatting with y'all. Remember, if you're not following your dream, you're helping somebody else follow theirs.